I know it's easier said than done, but what if, as an experiment, you tried to be happy just by becoming who you really are, just living it and stepping into it? To get to who you really are, you have to shed layer after layer of who you've been pretending to be.
Welcome to the Women Inspired Podcast, brought to you by Modern Well, a beautiful woman-centered collaborative workspace in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your host, April Seifert, psychologist, entrepreneur, and self-proclaimed life experience junkie. Each week, I will introduce you to a different woman who is succeeding and inspiring others in one way or another. We'll dive into her story, her successes, failures, and the lessons she has learned along the way, all with the goal of inspiring you to listen to that inner voice who keeps reminding you that there is something you want to take action on. You are so much more capable and powerful than you give yourself credit for. Inside of you is a woman on fire. Let's let her out and see what happens. Here we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Women Inspired Podcast. My name is April Seifert, and I am your host. And today, we are speaking to an amazing woman named Mary Shores. Mary Shores is the author of the best-selling book, Conscious Communications, Your Step-by-Step Guide to Harnessing the Power of Your Words to Change Your Mind, Your Choices, and Your Life. And she is such an incredibly inspirational person, and her content area is just so valuable. I'm excited to talk to Mary, and I'm excited to share this interview with you because, number one, you're going to hear the journey that Mary went through in her own life. Like, she was abandoned at age 3, again at age 16. At age 16, she then found herself, she was a senior in high school, that by that point, living on her own. I mean, that's amazing for me to think about, that somebody at that age could be out on their own already. She also got pregnant when she was 19, and ultimately through some complications with that pregnancy, she ended up losing her child a year and a half later. Now, on that note, some pieces of this interview get very raw. We talk about some heavy aspects of Mary's life in the beginning of the interview. If for some reason that type of content is not something that you want to be listening to, please know that that is going to happen at the beginning of this interview. However, if that is the case for you, if that information would be a bit sensitive, I would suggest skipping forward to, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes into this interview, because the back half of the interview is something you're not going to want to miss. We're talking about all things resilience. We're talking about living in alignment and Mary's very specific and well thought out version of what alignment means. I love it. We're talking about how we can take intentioned action to help harness the power of our minds in order to help us create our day-to-day life and bring it into something that actually is in alignment with who we are. And we're talking about this amazingly simple but effective technique that Mary developed called cleanse or clog. It's a way to think about the thousands of decisions you make on a day-to-day basis and how to make them better. Not perfectly, but better. It's such a great interview. So yes, there's some heavy stuff in the beginning. Please know that that is just, it's a testament to how powerful Mary is that she has been able to do the things that she has done in her life in spite of the background that she has. But no matter what, do not miss the back half of this interview because it is so incredibly valuable and so incredibly powerful. All right. I'm so excited for you to meet Ms. Mary Shores. Mary, I am so glad that you joined us for this episode of the podcast. I love, love, love your background and the work that you're doing, and I think this is going to be amazing. So thanks for being here.
April, it is my absolute pleasure to be here today. Thank you so much.
And, you know, before we jumped on, you were just mentioning that you're about to go out on this massive 3-week travel stint, and so I really appreciate you being here because I know how crazy those last days can be as you're trying to wrap things up and get out of town. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that I was able to get it in before I left. So that's so awesome.
Awesome. Okay, so I know a little bit about you, as always with my guests, but my audience doesn't know probably as much as I do. So help us get to know you and tell us a little bit about yourself, so we have a little background going into our discussion today.
Yeah, great. Well, to keep it short, I'm gonna say that I am just that person who had a super rocky childhood. So after a pretty unstabling start in life, I somehow was able to bounce back and not only just like recover from the things that had happened in my past, which included being abandoned at the age of 3 and then again at the age of 16. So most 16-year-olds are a junior or senior in high school. I was a senior, but already actually living out on my own in the world and had very little guidance and absolutely no resources. And from there, I became a teen mom, but there was a problem. My daughter, when she was born, she had over 5 minutes lack of oxygen to the brain during the labor and delivery process. So I had an emergency C-section, and the damage that caused was she was blind, she was deaf, she was unable to suck a bottle, and she was basically on life support for the first several days to weeks of her life. And she was expected to pass away actually right away within a couple of days, but she ended up living for a year and a half. And during that year and a half time, I was truly, I mean, you have to remember, I was 19 years old and I didn't understand it at the time, but I was in the throes of full blown, not only PTSD, but living in PTSD, because I was dealing with life or death situations on a daily basis. When you're living in a children's hospital, you're just seeing things that you can never, ever unsee. And Haley did pass away, which is tragic, but there's a difference between like tragic and hopelessness. And so what I would say is like, it's tragic when she was born and she sustained this injury, but living in perpetual hopelessness for a year and a half really does something to a person.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, I'm just now unpacking this, you know, 25 years later. So I was able to, I mean, I really hit this rock bottom place after she passed away, but I was able to pick up the pieces and I started my first business when I was 24 years old, which is actually a very unusual industry, especially for women, is I became the CEO and founder of a collection agency, which if anyone does not know what a collection agency is, I am a tried and true debt collector. So you know, but I had an idea and I wanted my agency to be different because there has been this dehumanization of the process of collections over the decades. It's just become a very, abusive industry. And I knew that going in, and for whatever reason, I came up with these ideas to change it. And that is how I developed this communication strategy, which eventually became the framework of the teachings and the things that I share in my best-selling book, Conscious Communications.
You, like, when you hear that backstory end to end like that, and you're right, like you're hitting sort of the major bullet points of your backstory as you tell it, I mean, it's amazing that you're at the point that you are today, given the background that you had, like given the things that you personally experienced as a child. And, you know, we've talked a lot on the podcast about how formative those initial years are. We learn so much, like so much of our identity, maybe not the way that it necessarily looks as an adult, but the building blocks of our identity and how we see what we are worth and what we're capable of is so shaped by those early years. How, I guess, you know, I've interviewed a number of people who have had tough backgrounds, and I always have to ask, like, how did that transition happen? Or how is it that you know, in front of me today and speaking to me today is this confident, successful person when it so easily could have gone a different direction. Like it's so, you so easily could have not grown into the person that you are today. Like, how did you navigate that and how did you overcome the adversity that you went through?
You know, I've been asked that question for years, and it was honestly something I didn't even understand. When I was in my early 30s and I started having people wanting to study me because I didn't understand that anything was wrong. I mean, that's how oblivious I was in the beginning. But understanding now the radical resilience that was developed in my character as a result of all of the things that I had went through. One of the aha moments that I've recently had is that all of the things that I used to hide behind, all of the things that I never wanted to tell anyone, or I never wanted anyone to know about me for fear that it would make me look bad, that it would, damage my career, that all the fears, right? We know all the things that we worry. Like I couldn't stand it that I didn't have a college degree. But all of these little things now that I thought were the adversities are actually the strongest gifts. And they are the things that have made my life more beautiful than I ever could have imagined. And so, you know, I was actually a part of a documentary series called the Global Resilience Project. And what I learned is that there's actually a formula for resiliency. And a lot of people who've gone through tragedy, it's like you're going to go one of two directions because the tragedy is going to need to play itself out in your lifetime in whatever way that's going to look like. So most, I think the statistic is, I mean, drugs, alcohol, addictions of every kind. And what happened to me was my addictions probably went in the direction of work. Like I was, and I don't want to say I was addicted to achievement, but I just became unstoppable. Because when you've been through, what else can someone take away from you? When you've been through it all, what can someone take away? A lot of times I look at this fascination that I have with Holocaust survivors. And if you've ever watched interviews, you see these people, they have a joy in them. Have you noticed that?
You know what's interesting? I actually interviewed a woman named Gerda Weissman-Klein. She is a Holocaust survivor. She wrote a best-selling book that's actually used in elementary schools called All But My Life, and is exactly what you say. She is one of the most joyful, resolute women who knows exactly what her purpose is in being here. And although she does look back at what happened to her with sadness, like her family, her entire family died, all of her friends died, were killed. She came out of it with such a clear, like a crystal clear sense of purpose and responsibility, because she lived, her friends and family didn't, and she felt responsible to go forward and make sure that she had a good life and that she used what ultimately became her platform from this book to help people understand how lucky they are to live in a free society. Isn't that beautiful? And it's exactly what you're saying.
It is exactly what I'm saying, because the resiliency is what you need to live out that purpose. And so that is exactly what I'm experiencing, is this clarity around who it is I am, what it is that I'm supposed to be doing, and not letting anything get in my way to achieve the life that I want to achieve. And, you know, some of the things that I can tell you right away is like, there's some things we need to drop in our life. Like we need to drop this dream life BS scenario, because that is something that we've been sold on that we will never achieve. And it just does not exist, because the dream life is always going to be five steps away from where you're at right now. And when you understand that the dream, the beauty is in the journey, the beauty is in the adversity, the growth moments are the beautiful moments. And so it's nice to have goals, but when we sort of like fixate on this dream life that I'm seeing every other second on Facebook or Instagram, that's not going to get us there. It's not what got me there.
Ultimately, yeah, it's so true. And ultimately, there this gets a bit high and lofty here, but people are used to me talking about this on the podcast. There's not a destination, right? Like, there isn't. People forget that your life, like literally your life itself, all it is is a journey. All it is a series of todays. There isn't actually a destination that you're running toward, you know? So when I hear people trying to get through time or like, you know, wish it away or whatever, I'm like, to what end? Like, sometimes, yes, we have to go through difficult times, but in terms of like life itself, all you're getting is journey. And mm-hmm. So learning to be in that journey and have that be it and in and of itself, like that is what matters. That's the difficult part. Like that's the difficult part to convey to people is that the experience that you're having today, yes, we can do things to improve. We can always do things to improve. We can make difficult decisions that put us in a better situation tomorrow than we were today. And I guarantee you've made a million of those throughout your life to get to the point that you're at now. But all we're going to get is a series of todays. That's it. Like there isn't a destination there.
Well, and I love what you're saying. And I just wrote this down the other day. So you'll have to tell me what you think about it. But I wrote down destination is you.
Totally.
Like the destination is because like this is what I think that and I'm really like on the spiritual path. Like I understand that the destination is you and becoming who you truly are, because the more that you step into who you really are, that's when everything else begins to fall into place. Mm-hmm. And that's when, because when we understand that, that's like the lesson, like that's the whole thing. And it takes us that lifetime to step into that. Like this woman that you referenced, like she, that's what she's done.
Yeah. I, you know, before we hopped on to record, I mentioned that I do a lot of work in the realm of life design. And I actually have a program that I'm in the middle of right now with a group of people. And one of the biggest pieces, I would say one of the most impactful things that I've heard in terms of feedback from people who are in this program is the focus on getting to know yourself, like at a very deep level, because ultimately we use the process of design thinking and human-centered design, the same thing that's used to create, like, I don't know, smartphones and Instant Pots and other services and products that are used out there in the marketplace. We use that same process, but for people's lives. And we get to know who that person is. And it's incredible the clarity that comes when you realize. I had a woman in the program say, I absolutely value, through this exercise, she realized, like with clarity, she values connection to people. And communication is a really big strength of hers. And she's like, I couldn't put my finger on why I'm so lonely in my current day-to-day job right now. That's why I'm lonely. I value connection with people and I'm good at communicating and I'm not doing either of those things ever in my day-to-day life. And the clarity that came from understanding where those bad feelings came from. Like, they make perfect sense when you align them to who she is. It makes perfect sense as to why she's lonely. And then it also charts a very clear path forward. Like, okay, great. You need more face-to-face communication with people. Like, you need much more input from people in your day-to-day life. And you're exactly right, Mary. I love what you're saying around, like, you know, that destination is you being fully authentically you and knowing who that person is. It just creates so much clarity. Hi friends, I'm interrupting this podcast episode with a very important announcement. Have you ever looked at your calendar for the week and felt completely overwhelmed? Do you find yourself saying yes over and over to other people, which means you're saying no over and over to your own needs? And when it comes down to it, does your free time amount to tiny bits of time confetti here and there with no real time to focus on any one thing? I totally know how that feels. And if that sounds like you, you're going to want to hear this. I'm partnering with my incredible friend Leslie, the mastermind behind the blog Mom's Hierarchy of Needs, to offer an absolutely free webinar called Setting Value-Based Boundaries. During this webinar, we'll uncover your five most important personal values. Then we'll use them during a design thinking exercise that takes aim at your weekly calendar. You'll walk away with an intentional set of boundaries that are aligned to your personal values to help you finally get your calendar under control. Join us for this absolutely free webinar in the evening on April 9th. We're only offering it once. Sign up at aprilseifert.com/webinar or just hit the link in this episode description. I can't wait to see you guys there. So I'm curious, you mentioned about the work that you've done with communication. I really want to dive in there because you've got a best-selling book. You've got incredible knowledge in this area. Tell us a little bit about the book and about the work that you've been doing there.
Yeah, I would love to. So I think, like, especially piggyback off of what you just said, I would love to talk about the book Conscious Communications. And I'm actually going to read a short excerpt. It's just a couple of sentences that really fits well with what we were just talking about. So this is actually on page 158 of Conscious Communications, and it's in chapter 7, which is actually called Becoming Who You Really Are. So it says, I know it's easier said than done, but what if, as an experiment, you tried to be happy just by becoming who you really are, just living it and stepping into it? To get to who you really are, you have to shed layer after layer of who you've been pretending to be, layers of the person that you know deep down you are not. You're shedding layers of your problems, layers of self-judgment, layers of how others have judged you, and shedding layers of unworthiness, fear, worry, and unnecessary responsibilities. Layers of beliefs and challenges around other people, what other people think you are, or even worse, what they think you should be. So the way that communication fits into this is that I believe that communication, the way that we communicate with ourselves, the way that we communicate with others around us, the way that we communicate through body language, through our actions, through our, and it's really like the way that we communicate with the universe. And so understanding, like, if we can more effectively learn how to communicate, we will make more money. When I developed my process, my revenue went up within 1 year, 34%. Wow. So just imagine that, like, right now, ask yourself, how much money did I make last year? Add 1/3 on top of that and ask yourself, would I like that? And I think that for most people, the answer is yes. If you learn to become a more effective communicator, you're going to improve your relationships. And so all of the stuff that we've been talking about up to this point is, like, my book is the how-to of accomplishing all of that. Because in order to achieve that, we've got to eliminate certain things that are clogging up our ability to do that. So I've got an entire chapter in the book called Cleanse or Clog. And what I'm doing is I'm teaching you the personal development concepts that will put you on the journey to adjust your life in that direction so that you are always reaching destination you.
I love that. Okay, so now you've got me really curious around this cleanse or clog piece. What in the work that you've done, what are some of those things, I guess at a high level, that people have in their lives or holding on to, whatever, that they shouldn't be, that are standing in the way of them hitting that destination of being truly themselves?
So cleanse or clog is actually even so much simpler than that, because we don't even need to understand what's in our way to do cleanse or clog. Cleanse or clog is just simply understanding the concept that, and this goes into a lot about alignment, because I hear that word a lot. And so we'll touch upon that later, but it's like understanding that everything you're doing is either cleansing you or clogging you. So whether we break this down to relationships, whether it's food, health, aging, personal self-care, our careers, our finances. It's a 2-second check-in to understand that everything you're doing, everything you say, everything you do, every word that comes out of your mouth, every action you take, every choice you make in the thinnest sliced moments of life is either creating a deeper connection. So that's a cleanse. It's creating a deeper connection, or it's a clog, meaning that it's driving a disconnection. So all of those little times that we're making a choice, we just need to check in and say, does this choice cleanse me or clog me? And if people commit to this practice for about 45 days, imagine if you made every choice based on whether it would create a deeper connection or drive a disconnection. Like, where would you be in 45 days that you're not now?
Well, and to me, that I love that, because what immediately pops to my mind, in 45 days, you're not saying, I know this, like, you're not saying that, pulling that out of thin air, right? Like, that's what it takes in order for you to start crafting a new habit, and in order for your brain to catch on, nope, this is something we do now. And this is like for your brain to basically start working for you. So an example I've given in the past is, at the end of my first pregnancy, everyone talks about how terrible that last trimester is. Oh my gosh, you're going to be miserable, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool. What can I do during that trimester to make it a bit better? And so I just decided, screw it. I'm going to take a picture of something that's beautiful every single day, and I'm going to post it on social media. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to find something beautiful. I'm going to post it on social media. And within the first, I would say 30 to 40 days, I found myself searching. Like every day, my brain would immediately, I'd wake up and it would start searching for something beautiful because I knew I had to post a photo. And it had finally caught on, my brain had finally caught on that this is what we do. We get up and we look for beautiful things. So you better find me one because I'm going to need one by the end of the day. And that is such a much better way to live than going through the day passively where your brain's kind of doing its own thing. So in your case, with making your decisions in that way, I could imagine that in the beginning, number one, people would be shocked as to how many decisions they either don't consciously make or how many decisions they're making that lead to that clog direction. I bet that's eye-opening for people to see how many clogging type decisions they're making.
It is. And I love to follow this up with saying a couple of things, that it's not about perfection, because this, if you're like a perfectionist like I am, this can easily lead you down a trail that's where you're like, oh, I made the wrong choice. That was a clog. But I have this 80-20 rule where if 80% of the time I am making cleansing connected choices in my communication, in my, you know, in just little choices, then what happens is that we become very aware of our choices in life. And awareness of our choices is the key to true freedom. And the reason why is because as soon as you make one choice, turn left or turn right, then all of the choices that come after that particular choice are all different. Mm. And so by choosing something new, by taking one step in this new direction of making cleansing choices, we are literally opening 10,000 new doors of opportunity. And so like my life is constantly evolving. I mean, who I am now in this moment is a completely different person energetically, psychologically, neurologically than I was, say, 2 or 3 years ago when I very first started writing this book. And who that person was is completely different than who that person was 5 years before that. But it's because of all of these things that I've learned in life, because I really share in the book the how-to. Like, I think that there's so many people that are like the what, and I'm the how. Like, this is how you accomplish these things. Yep. Because I would be driven nuts when people would say, oh, the power of now. And I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, when you're an entrepreneur, everything's always about the future. And so cleanse or clog is really one of the very basic things. And I didn't know anything. You know, I mean, I didn't need to know who in the second grade told me I could do this or that. Like, I didn't need to tap into that first 7 years of life, right? I could just do this with my mind the way it is now. And by doing that practice, all of the other things are revealed as they need to be revealed. Because yes, you have to, not have to. I always want to correct myself whenever I say have to. It is suggested to that to really create that destination you, that you get to that place where you begin to heal your first, like we can use that language together, that first 7 years. And whether you're doing that through the presence process or, you know, a book that you're reading or A Course in Miracles or what, there are so many ways. There's not one way. But the important thing is that we get there to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I find that the entry point doesn't have to be higher level. It can be as simple as getting in control of the choices that you're making right now, mm-hmm. in this moment today. And really, the word for me, communication, is all about connection, because it's through our communication that we're creating deep connections. And what I love to do is to have the deeper conversation about what all of these things mean, like alignment, like now, like all, you know, just all of these concepts, but make them practical and usable right away.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so let's go to the concept of alignment. What is that? Because people say it a lot. I say it a lot. So I definitely have an opinion on it. I'm really curious. I'm curious about yours, because I feel like this is a topic that you've thought about a lot. And I love chatting with people who've had taken the time and the space to really think through a complex topic like that. So I'd love to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, I love talking about alignment. And I'll be really honest with you. It was because all of the influencers that I was listening to years ago were always talking about alignment. And I just struggled with that word. Like, what does that mean? It's like, to me, it literally made no sense. And I have to assume that if it didn't make any sense to me, that there was other people it didn't make sense to. So I really set out to make a definition of alignment. And what I came up with is when you get your feelings, your thoughts, your words, and your actions in your beliefs all moving in the direction of what it is that you're trying to accomplish, whatever that is. And one of my personal examples is that for 10 years, I really wanted to write this book. And I would literally say to anyone who would listen to me, I want to write this book, but I'm not a writer. And the thing that's so magical and powerful about words is that words are a mirror to the subconscious mind. And when you hear me say the words, I want to write a book, it's like you can see that written on my soul that I've come into this life with this purpose to write this book and share this knowledge. But there's a big issue of being out of alignment when the next words out of my mouth are, but I'm not a writer. Because that what that's doing is it's also revealing something in my subconscious mind. And the way I like to describe the mind is, you know, we've got the prefrontal cortex and we've got the subconscious. And my best metaphor for that is like when we do the iceberg thing. And like understanding that our conscious mind is just that 5% of the iceberg, and that the subconscious is everything that we don't see under the water. And it's the much more powerful part of it. So what's really in control is the belief that I'm not a writer versus the desire to write a book. So the belief was stronger than the purpose in this case. And so in order to change that, I just needed to take one step in a new direction. And I did that by signing up for a writer's workshop at Omega Institute. The moment that I took that one step in a new direction, I had a book deal with my very favorite publisher, Hay House. And my book was on the shelf within, I think, 3 years. So like, that's a great example, but it's not about writing. It's about how often do we say, I want to start a business, but I don't have the finances. I don't have the education. I don't have the support. I want to lose 20 pounds, but I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to learn complicated diets. By the way, Cleanser Clog is the best diet on the planet. You put it in your mouth. It's like, will this bite of food cleanse me or clog me? Right. And you right away, you're going to know the answer. But spreading that simplicity to all areas of life, if I make this choice in my finances, does it cleanse me or clog me? And sometimes you need to buy that $1,000 outfit because it's a cleanse, because you're somebody who's going to be on stage, or you need to kill it at the next meeting. So I'm not saying that like there's rigid rules around this, because it's very personal to each one of us. So that sort of superficial layer of alignment is all about how we feel. You know, there's a big push about empowerment these days. And that was another one of these buzzwords that I'm like, what does this mean? Are we supposed to be walking around in this high level of euphoric empowerment and be powerful superheroes all the time? And what I realized about empowerment is that the important thing to know is to be able to check in with yourself on how you feel. Empowerment is when we have from the inside out a level of confidence where we know exactly what it is we want, and we know at least the first few steps of how to get there, and we know absolutely that it's going to work out in our favor. We all know what that feeling is. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then if we counteract that with the contrast of disempowerment, disempowerment is when we're very unsure, when we are feeling like I have no idea what to do, and we're just feeling completely stuck. And what I learned, and here's the important teaching of this, is that the important thing is when you're feeling in that empowered state, that is the time to take action, because every action you take is going to that's alignment. It's going to be stronger, faster, better, and you're going to achieve amazing results. Versus when we're in a state of disempowerment, this is not the time to take action. When we're feeling a state of disempowerment, what we need to do is we need to check in with ourselves on self-care. So, and self-care does not need to be complicated. I simplify everything. Self-care just means taking space for yourself in whatever that looks like for you. Like if you want to go spend $5,000 at the spa, go for it. If you want to take a bath with some Epsom salt for free, go for it. And anything in between, so long as you are taking care of yourself. What you're going to find is if you ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 20, how do I feel? If you're below a 10, like let that be your self-care moment. Because very quickly you're gonna climb that frequency scale of emotions. And then when you get back up to that 12, 13, 14, boom, that's when it's time to take that inspired action, because that's when everything is starting to get into alignment. So that's the part about the feelings. Now, the thoughts to me were the more difficult thing to have control of. So oftentimes I felt like my thoughts were thinking me and that I did not have any control over them. So the natural entry point for me was words. So words being in alignment, you know, I showed you an example of what out of alignment words mean. And so I just started saying words every day, like today is going to be an amazing day. Something incredible is going to happen today. Help me rendezvous with like-minded people. Like I just started saying simple things that those words became my intentions. And then beliefs is, you know, that's a more beliefs is getting into that next layer. You know, some of this stuff is on the superficial layer, and we have a lot of things we can control. But then when we start getting into the beliefs, what we don't understand is how much the guilt, the judgment, the becoming who somebody else thought that we were supposed to become. You know, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and it was really all about growing up, getting the degree, getting married, buying the house, having the 2.3 children, developing your career, which then led to getting the divorce, filing the bankruptcies, having your life fall apart right in front of your very eyes, and literally living in terror and fear in every single moment of life. I haven't filed bankruptcy. I'm just using that as an example. But that's what those belief systems will get you. And so when we can understand, like, to change the beliefs does not have to be a hard thing. We don't even actually have to identify them. The best way to change the beliefs is to change your actions and your beliefs, because your beliefs are controlled by a set of like neural pathways with neurons and synapses, that when we start to build the new synapses and the pathways in our brain, we will automatically start following those new belief systems. But what I like to say is that it starts with planting the seed in your subconscious of the new belief system. Mm-hmm. And then using your actions to follow that new trail that you have created in your subconscious mind. Because just like a highway system or like a garden, you know, the plants that survive and thrive are the ones that are fed and watered and nurtured. And the ones that die are the ones that we ignore. So as we start to take inspired action in the direction of where we want to go all the time, always through Cleanse or Clog, then we then our weeds of our old belief systems begin to dismantle just naturally.
Totally.
And then the deepest layer of alignment, now we've got to explore things like self-judgment and guilt, because what I have learned is that I was not in true, I was manifesting like crazy, okay? Like talking about manifestation and creating everything you want. I got so good at that, that almost I could blink and it would happen. But to be in true alignment with who you really are and destination you, then what you have to do is What I suggest you do is move in the direction of exploring all the things that you haven't truly forgiven yourself for. So if that is that you had an abortion or you cheated on someone or you got in a car accident, like all these things that you perceive are your fault, we need to dismantle that because it does not serve us. You know, like you were talking about now and today, those things from the past will knock us out of alignment and keep us from being who we really are. And that's the, you know, that's when you get to the deeper part of the journey.
I love, love, love how comprehensive that is and how, you figured this out about me before we hopped on to record. I'm a very big systematic person. And something that there's a theme running through this that I want to make sure that people are hearing. So as you were talking about creating these new belief systems, there's a theme running through there that is very similar to the theme of the conversation we had around doing something for 45 days. What people don't get is that first step, those first 5 days, 10 days, that initial action that you're taking, or the initial, call it an affirmation, call it just a thing you're telling yourself. I don't care what it is. But that initial time when you're planting that seed, the way that you described it, that takes intention. It takes effort. It's not going to feel, it's not going to necessarily feel authentic quite yet in the beginning, because you're doing something different than what you've done before. Like the brain, I always tell people, you know, my background's in cognitive psychology, like the brain is, it's sophisticated, but yet it can be, it's very simplistic at the same time. Like it runs on habits. It runs on stuff that happens together lots. It assumes is important and they're related to each other. Like it's very simplistic from that view. So in the beginning, when you start feeding it something new, it might feel like there's a little friction there. Very quickly though, your brain catches on and it can shift over to being automatic. So like people who, the first time you played baseball and you swung a bat, if you've ever played golf and thought about how awkward it is to swing a golf club, great example. The first time you've ever tried to shoot a basketball free throw, those first few swings or shots, they feel awkward because you have no muscle memory there. You keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Pretty soon that muscle memory develops and it feels like second nature. And your brain does the same thing, right? Like, you put that intention in place, you put the effort in place to get it going, and pretty soon it catches on and it begins to happen much more automatically, or it starts to feel more authentic. And I bring that up because I don't want people to think, like, to miss the value in what you're saying, because if they're telling themselves, let's say somebody wants to write a book, who's listening to this? I don't want you to think, you, person who wants to write the book, I don't want you to think, oh, I'm telling myself, I used to tell myself that, but I'm not a writer. And now I'm telling myself that I am a writer. And that doesn't feel quite authentic yet. That's okay. Like, keep going, because your brain will catch on at some point. Like, it will do its job and it will catch on at some point. But it just takes that initial seed planting, as you mentioned.
Well, and I know that for me, like I'm not a person that can do the inauthentic affirmations. And so that's why I've actually got three steps to writing rocking affirmations, little excerpt in conscious communication that teaches people how to write affirmations that work for them. Because I find that there are people who really get into the as if affirmations. I'm not one of those people. Because, and actually research is now supporting this, that when you say an affirmation that doesn't feel authentic, it actually just continues to rewire the negative pattern. And I don't remember the research, but I read it and I was like, oh, bingo, this is exactly what I was trying to describe. So what my brain thrives on is evidence. And what happened is, for me, it was not difficult. It was as simple as signing up for a workshop. Then it was as simple as showing up for the workshop. Then, you know, following the directions during the workshop. And what happened was, I got to the end of that week, and my writing teacher, by the way, was Cheryl Strayed. I mean, you talk about a level of intimidation.
Right.
Oh my gosh. So I get to the end of the week and I read my first short story that I've ever written in my life to this audience of like 50 people. And it was about my daughter who passed away in 1993. It was about my son who is on the autism spectrum, and just like what a lonely world it has been raising a child on the spectrum as a single mom. And I paralleled his growth and my other son's growth with my entrepreneurial roller coaster journey of my life. And when I read it out loud, no one said to me that I was not a writer. People were in tears. People were moved to the point where they got up and stood in line to hug me and ask me if I would email them that story so that they could share it through their newsletters and such. So when my brain saw the evidence that it needed, then it changed the way I felt about it. The way I felt about it changed the way I thought about it. The way I thought about it changed my words. My words, all of that combined, the thoughts, the feelings, the words now being in alignment, changed my actions. And my actions then changed my result so that I would have a book deal, write the book, and then have a best-selling book. So I just want to, the reason I'm saying this is because it's just like one step at a time. And so because we are all wired differently, my brain really just needed that evidence that I was going, you know, just doing that one thing and then showing up for it. And then the evidence was supplied that changed everything else.
So if you could, I know we could literally go down so many rabbit holes and chat so much today. I just love this. I absolutely love this. But we can't do that. So what I want to do is I want to bug you for one more nugget. Like, you have a captive audience right now of women who are out there, you know, doing their thing, like women who are out there with goals, who are looking for inspiration or even just direction to help them take that next step. What is one bit of advice that you can give my audience that would help them move in the direction that they want to go? You have so much, you know, expertise and background to share. So I just had to ask this sort of open-ended question for one bit of advice.
Yeah, I love that question. And so let's go in this direction with it, that when you're, because all of this stuff sounds so easy, right? It sounds really easy. Oh yeah, just sign up for something, or just do affirmations, or, you know, just plant that new seed in your mind and let it grow. But we're going to come up with obstacles along our journey. We're going to hit those stumbling blocks that I find when we hit a stumbling block, it can really make us feel stuck. And when we're stuck, it's usually for a few reasons. Like, one of the biggest ones with me is when I want to do something, but I actually don't know how, because I am such a process oriented person. Like, I like having the processes. Sometimes we just need someone to hold our hand and get us through that. So what I want to say is, when you hit upon those stumbling blocks, there's a couple of things that are going to help you get through it. Number one, it's about fear. Okay. One of the things that has been really alive in my life in the last year is understanding how much success I've actually created out of a place of fear. And there's fear, and then there's the opposite of fear, which some people call love, some people call faith, call it whatever you want. But there are some basic human fears that when those are triggered, it will take us into our belief system. So one of the things is just understanding how much fear has control in our lives and recognizing it, and just saying to yourself for a moment, even though I feel this fear, I can move forward anyway. The next part of that is understanding that we live in these stories Okay, so one of the things that happens when we get triggered, especially if one of these aforementioned fears triggers us, is that's going to put us into our story. And there's a very powerful process in chapter 2 of Conscious Communications that's all about reframing your story, because the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves actually become our identity. And like we were saying, this whole conversation, Destination You, is we need to become who we really are. And we're unable to do that when we're stuck in our story. So I recommend reframing your story so that you're focused on the triumphs more than you're focused on the tragedies. And then the third part of that is like, understand that the beauty is not in the destination of the dream, that the beauty is in the wisdom that you pick up in every single day. A powerful thing that has gotten me to the level of success that I've gotten to is that every time I make a mistake, I take a moment to say, what would I have done differently? How would I have chosen differently without judgment? That's the important thing, is like, how can I learn something out of this perceived mistake? And those things create your ultimate success. So whatever you perceive that that mistake cost you, you triple that, and that's how much value you'll get out of the teaching.
I love that. God, that's a good lesson to leave us with. This has been wonderful. Mary, I am so excited that we were able to fit this in before you head off on your trip. Friends who are listening to this, pop over to Mary's show notes page. I'll link to her book there. I'll link to her online there. Give us a little bit of info, though. Where can we find you, and how can we connect with you a little bit more after this?
Sure. On Instagram, it's Mary_Shores. And on, I love LinkedIn. I don't know how, you know, not everyone does LinkedIn, but I absolutely love it. And it's my most active place. So if you would like to get to know me more, I invite you to send me a connection request or follow me on LinkedIn, just under the name Mary Shores. Of course, my website is maryshores.com. And I always say, like, if you resonated with what we talked about today and you want to know more, please go on Amazon, check out the book Conscious Communications, read the description and a handful of reviews, you will know right away whether this book is for you or not.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Honestly, it means so much that you took the time to be here today to share all of this amazing expertise with us, because I know that it is a very busy time for you. So thank you so much for being here. This has been wonderful.
My pleasure.
All right, friends, I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Mary Shores. And as she was mentioning, if the information that she presented during her interview today, if it sounds at all interesting to you, or if it sounds like something that you would find value in, or that could help you move forward in your own life, definitely check out her book. I'll put a link to it on her show notes page. It's so worthwhile to go and give it a quick look, read some of the comments, and see if it's something that would help you with your own journey. A couple of things that I want to call out. I loved our conversation around alignment. It fits so beautifully well with the work that I've been doing with folks inside the Life Design Lab. Just FYI, folks who might be interested in that, doors are closed right now. It's not something that I'm running again for a little while, but if you're at all interested and want to be notified when that opens again, just head over to aprilseifert.com /life-design-lab. And you can just get on the wait list and learn a little bit more about it when I open the doors again. Anyway, it fits so well with what we're doing inside of Life Design Lab and using the techniques of human-centered design to get to know who you are so that you can start to make decisions and craft a life around you. I loved that. You know, there's some psychological reasons why this is so important. And one of them, you've probably learned it in, you know, intro psychology. If you've ever taken an introductory psychology class, you probably learned about cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is not something that is comfortable for us to sit in. Dissonance is essentially when our actions or behaviors and our thoughts, beliefs, and feelings and values, when they're out of alignment with one another. So when we're acting in a way that is not aligned with who we really are, we experience this notion of dissonance. Or if we try to hold two opposing beliefs at the same time, we experience dissonance. And we just, psychologically, it's not a comfortable place to be. And Bringing your life into alignment with who you really are helps ease that dissonance. It takes you out of that situation. And it's so important because, you know, we had the conversation about how life is this destinationless journey. I mean, you're getting a series of todays. And so how we spend our time and who we spend it with, what we choose to do with it, and who we choose to spend it with, it's so important because ultimately it's going to make up the life experience that we have. And living in alignment with who we really are can make that experience that much more vibrant and that much more fulfilling. The other thing that I want to call out, I loved the simplicity, that just absolute simplicity of Mary's approach to decision making around just simply asking yourself, does this cleanse me or does this clog me? Is this something that is good for me and feeding me? Is this something that is not good for me or weighing me down? What a simple way to start approaching your decisions. And I would urge you, take her up on that challenge for 45 days. Try to make, you know, the majority of your decisions by asking yourself that question. Because at some point in that 45 days, your brain is going to catch on and it's going to start doing these things automatically for you. And when that happens, when you've set a new intention and you've trained your brain to have a new habit and to work in your favor, like I've said it a million times, your brain can be your best asset or your worst liability. And that decision is up to you. You get to pick that. And you pick that by setting these new habits, by creating new pathways and teaching your brain how you want it to work in your favor. And this is one of those beautifully concrete examples. Does this thing that I'm about to do, does it cleanse me? Does it clog me? Taking that meeting, cleanse or clog? Eating that food, cleanse or clog? Seeing that person, cleanse or clog? It's so brilliant. I just love it. It's brilliant in its simplicity. And that is beautiful. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this interview. I hope you got as much out of it as I did. Please pop over to my website, to Mary's show notes page, and you can get a link to her book to check out. I really hope you guys are having just an incredible week, and I can't wait for you guys to meet the women that we have coming up. I'm just in love with the women that I've been meeting, and I can't wait to bring even more of them to you. All right, friends, have a great rest of your week. Before we close out today, I want to say thank you to my producer, Cameron Hill, and to my incredible sponsor, Modern Well. If you want to learn more about how you can reach your goals in a one-of-a-kind work-life community, visit www.modernwell.co. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone else who might benefit from this inspiring message. And if you have a moment, click the link in the episode description to leave me a rating and a review on iTunes. It would mean so much to me. Finally, I want to remind you that it is absolutely possible to live a happy, fulfilling life, even in spite of all of the chaos and demands we all experience. Sign up at aprilseifert.com to gain access to tools that will help you do just that. I have carefully created and curated a set of tools that combine the powerful fields of psychology and design thinking to help you intentionally create a fulfilling, happy life you love. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and until next week, stay inspired.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.